A highly politicized rape trial in South Africa tops our news in this week's Africa Update. We'll also look at the effort by Nigeria's president to stretch out his term in office. Plus, Darfur sinks further into misery, according to aid agencies. And on the upside, wining, dining, and jazz in Cape Town. Joining me to discuss the latest developments across the continent is NPR Special Africa Correspondent Charlene Hunter-Galt in Johannesburg. Charlene, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here, Farai, as usual.
So catch us up on the rape trial of former South African Deputy President Jacob Zuma. He was fired, basically, by the president, and now he's made some interesting statements about sexual health on the stand.
That's right. Now, on the days that the former deputy president was on the stand, he described in graphic detail his version of events that resulted in his being charged with rape, but which he insists was consensual sex. Now, in addition to all the salacious details in his version, he also said they discussed before having sex the use of a condom, but that neither had one and that they went ahead anyway. So when asked if he knew the risk associated with a man having sex with an HIV-positive woman, because the woman he's alleged to have raped is an HIV-positive AIDS activist, in fact, he said that his lay understanding was that the risk of him contracting HIV was minimal. Now, that led to blaring headlines in the newspapers the following day saying, slim chance of getting HIV from a woman. He also testified that after having sex with the woman, he took a shower to minimize the chance of contracting HIV. Now, you know, this has raised a lot of eyebrows, not to mention set a lot of tongues wagging, because the deputy president was at one time on the AIDS Council here in South Africa, and presumably would know that both of these things were totally inappropriate. At any rate, his own HIV status had been in question throughout the trial, so this week he testified that he is HIV negative, saying that he had his last HIV test just last month.
Is there any talk in South Africa about using this opportunity, which in some ways is negative, to really reinforce that people need to go and get tested and, you know, learn the facts?
Well, I think that's one of the big challenges. And I think that so far it's been very difficult, or it seems to have been difficult for the AIDS activists to get their arms around this. I was just in the Western Cape in a clinic talking to a nurse there, and I asked her, you know, what was happening with AIDS in her community. She works in a predominantly black, what they call location or township, and she said it is ever increasing, and that the primary reason is that people are not getting tested. There's still such a stigma. So there is so much work to be done. I mean, Nelson Mandela and other prominent people like him who've lost family members to HIV, he lost his own son, but there just hasn't been enough of a critical mass of people out there to convince people that they've got to take responsibility themselves for their own life, as it were. It just isn't happening.
Well, let's head now to the north of Africa, northern region, Nigeria. President Olusegun Obasanjo met with President Bush, and there's been the capture of Charles Taylor in Nigeria. But he seems to be someone who really likes being in office, as so many presidents do, and you can understand why. Is he tacitly supporting people who want to change the governance structure so that he can take a third term?
Well, people are concerned in that region about this possibility that Obasanjo, in fact, would consider a third term. His press spokesman, in fact, told the BBC that it would not be decided by God alone, but would need legislative approval and a constitutional amendment. Moreover, the United States has been pressuring him to step down at the end of the year when his term ends. And, you know, Obasanjo is also chairman of the African Union, and it has brought in new rules of the road for African leaders. It's pressing for limited terms in office away from the African pattern of presidents for life. And, you know, this is supposed to be a new day in Africa. Mbeki, who succeeded Mandela. Mandela stepped down after one term, as he said he would, setting an example. And then Mbeki has said that in recent weeks that he will not seek a third term. This is his second term in office. And the United States has been extremely vocal, warning that if Obasanjo stays in power or is manages to change the Constitution, there'll be major turmoil, disrupting oil supplies. You know, it's one of the biggest oil suppliers in the world. And the United States has also said that this would, in fact, lead to instability in the region.
So, Charlene, South Africa just hosted two major events, a jazz festival and a wine festival. Was the jazz festival kind of tied into the wine festival? Because South Africa has a
Well, it was.
reputation as a really great wine-producing country.
Yeah, I just left the Western Cape, and there are you drive for miles and miles and miles, and what you see are great expanses of vineyards. And it coincided with the jazz festival. They had headliners like Manu Dibango and Dibango and Chuchu Valdez, Miriam Makeba, Feliciano, Terrence Blanchard. I think this is his seventh year in Cape Town. It drew some 14,000 fans. It goes on over a 2-day period. There were some 40 acts on the stage, and this has turned out to be one of the biggest affairs in Africa. There are people from all over the continent who come, but also people who come from America as well. So, yeah, I mean, it was a great double hit there in Cape Town.
And Terrence Blanchard just scored Spike Lee's new film, Inside Man. And then Miriam Makeba, I thought, was going to retire. I got some email about how she was going to retire, so she really isn't, like most musicians.
Well, and like Mandela is supposed to be retired, but this was supposed to have been her last performance. And on another note, you know, South Africans stepped up to the plate when the tragedy hit in New Orleans, and there were musicians from New Orleans. There was a television program one morning talking about the Cape Town Jazz Festival, and throughout, one of the New Orleans piano players played his music, and then they talked to some of the performers about what was happening in New Orleans, just raising the consciousness of people here who were already concerned about the tragedy of New Orleans. But it was great to have these musicians here showing the resilience of the people and keeping that in the forefront of the minds of people who really have cared about what happened there.
NPR Special Africa Correspondent Charlene Hunter-Galt, thank you.
Thank you, Farai.